our class on the Holy Spirit, and we've been studying the last couple of weeks on the fruit of the Spirit, and that's where we will continue. Last week we talked about joy and peace, and pretty much finished up on that. There is one comment I want to make. You know how sometimes you write things in your Bible? I do, anyways. I write things in my Bible. Well, anyway, Janet and I were talking after class last Wednesday night, and she said, I don't know who said it, but I have a description of peace, and it was rest for your soul. I thought that was a pretty good description of peace. So, but anyway, we're going to continue this week. We're going to start on patience, and we all know we need that, don't we? Patience means to abide with under pressure. It's kind of the idea of the best, to do the best when circumstances aren't so good, whether people are against you or there's problems and you're suffering. Sometimes it can be people just irritating you or having tolerance for others. In Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. You know, Paul's telling Titus here to remind everyone that they need to have a godly living. They need to live godly lives. In verse 2 it says, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. And that too is a good description of patience. And why is that? Because in the reason why is stated in verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves. I'm not saying everybody was, but I know I was. And there are quite a few that have been. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. The kindness of God. And that's what our goal for kindness should be. We should have the kindness just as God has kindness for us. In 1 Peter 2:20, talks about being submissive to those who are in authority. And in the end of verse 20, it says, but if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. And this finds favor with God. And that's something we want to do. We want to find favor with God. Let's turn our Bibles over to Acts. Acts chapter 6. And if the Lord's willing and we continue to move along relatively rapidly, we'll be back there talking about kindness. So, but thank you. In Acts 6, verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, there was a situation that had come up that needed to be addressed. And the apostles, you know, they have their responsibilities and they have to hold to those. And they look at the situation and they analyze it and they patiently come to a good conclusion that where they were to select some men, seven men among them of good reputation, and to take care of the problem. And when, you know, in the church, sometimes we have problems too. And yes, it's okay to address or bring those problems up, but let's be patient about it in finding a solution to make sure that we get the correct solution, the one that's most beneficial to everyone. You know, patience among the apostles here, it led to clear, sober thinking and prayer to work out a problem in a wise and spiritually beneficial way. And that's how we need to address our problems. We just don't just jump into everything every time. We need to think it out and be patient about it and make sure that we have some spiritual benefits in regards to that. We need that patience. Sometimes, you know, plans get changed. Sometimes we're going along some way and something happens. And we have difficulty accepting changes a lot of times. But in doing so, we need patience. And we need patience to grow more into the fruit. In Acts chapter 8, we know about Saul and what he did. In verse, this is after Stephen was stoned to death. And in verse 1, and Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, and some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging men and women, and he would put them in prison. So you have the church is just being scattered all over the place, and we need to have the patience. And when they were scattered, what did they do? They preached the word, didn't they? I mean, we're talking about some people here that they were genuinely tied to God and His purpose. They had hold of grace and salvation. And when things don't go our way smoothly, you know, it is what leads us into the opportunity to sow to the Spirit and walk deeper into the blessings of God. Patience is only gained by being in situations to help your faith lean more on God with a godly attitude. And sometimes we think about, well, how patient was Jesus with his apostles? Sometimes they just didn't get it, did they? But he was patient with them. And how long did God have to be patient with Saul as a murderer? If you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and Saul, after when he became Paul, he realizes this, and in talking to Timothy and encouraging him in his ministry to be, in verse 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost Jesus might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. God possesses a great patience. And I know Paul was very thankful, as we just read, of the patience of Jesus. And how patient is God with us? I'm thankful He's been patient with me. Just how much patience does it take for God to deal with us? Is He still patient with you? Is He still waiting? What is it that God wants? What is it that God wants? Ezekiel 18:23. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? And again in verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore repent and live. God is so patient with us. And sometimes we see things not in regards to ourselves, but maybe in regards to someone else. And we think God's slow. Well, why doesn't He go ahead and just fix that? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And like I said, I am certainly glad that God has been patient with me. Yes. We need to allow God to do His job in us. And whether it be teaching us patience or testing our faith or whatever it may be, we need to allow Him to do His work in us, and we need to be more faithful to Him. Absolutely. Yeah. Most of the time it's not. So. In Psalm 27:14, the psalmist writes, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We need to wait for the Lord. I think we need to wait for the Lord in our prayers. A lot of times we pray for things, and we're impatient people. We want things to happen for our benefit right now. We don't want to wait. But like Richard said, it's God's timeline. It's not our timeline. So we need to wait for the Lord. Let Him do His work. If you had the pleasure of being here Sunday, You also heard a little bit what Brent talked about in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Be patient. Let's all be patient. Let's let God work all things out. And let's put some faith in our Lord and have hope and trust Him. Any comments? Thoughts? Yes, Patrick. Great example of a man of faith and great patience and endurance, as was Job. I mean, Job's patience was pretty much exhausted, but he endured. He hung in there, and I think a lot of times we hear someone has the patience of Job or something like that. But yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Anything else, Lynn? It is in 1 Peter 3:20, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, that's the one you're talking about, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the waters. And that again just tells you how much patience does God have. Glenn? Excellent description and point, both. Absolutely. Yeah. God's reaction to evil in the world. Patience is God's reaction to evil in the world. Let's talk about kindness a little bit. Kindness is a sweetness of temper. It's a mellowing of harshness and a cutting. It's a friendly or generous attitude towards others, showing compassion. In Romans 2, verse 4, Paul writes, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" It is God's kindness that leads people to repentance. It's not really sentimental. doesn't not inflicted with feelings, but is coupled with patience and gentleness. And over in chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 22, behold the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Talking about how Israel was cast away and they were cut off, and how the Gentile was grafted in, but those of Israel who came back and came into Christ, they were grafted back in also. So it's a kindness of God that allows that. You know, Paul is describing why the Jew is lost and why the Gentile is saved, but the Lord's kindness is not going to be abused. He's going to be kind where he wants to be kind. And God's kindness is to encourage the believer to remain in His kindness. If one rejects His kindness, it can only mean that he will be cut off. So there's a scary thought there. We need to remain in God's kindness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. These elements of kindness, tenderhearted, forgiving, that's the very heart of God. These are what we receive from Him, and He expects us to use them towards others. And we find again in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is kind. We are to treat others with the kindness that God treats us. Some examples of kindness. Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21, how he dealt with his brothers. Moses had kindness. How he watered the flock for the daughters of the priest of Midian. Boaz, he was kind to Ruth. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, in the description of the worthy woman, the writer Lemuel says that she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And the teaching of kindness needs to be on our tongue also. We need to do kind things, and we need to teach kindness. Well, let's go back to Titus again. Chapter 3. I'm going to read it over again. beginning in verse 1. Again, Paul encouraging Titus to remind his congregation of godly living. Verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God's kindness is the cause of man's salvation. I don't think we think of it as that important. I mean, yes, kindness is important. Is it the cause of salvation? According to what we just read, it is. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, Richard. It needs to be a way of life. Yes, Charlie? Anything else? Kindness needs to be a way of life, and it will lead to our salvation. And we need to teach it to others. It's a little late to start into the next one, so I'll just close for now, and I thank you for your attention.